You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
The NBA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. When you're sweating out your bets, make sure to grab a mountain cold refreshment. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. We're also brought to you by the SGPN app. Just enter SGPN in the App Store or Google Play Store. And welcome everyone to the NBA Gambling Podcast. This is Monday evening, June 21st, 10:50 p.m. on the East Coast. This is your host, ZB, joined for the 200th episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Got a very special group of guests lined up. I'm going to start with our newest guest. You guys definitely know him if you listen to this podcast. So we got Sean Stacking the Money Green on. I'm sure you guys can guess the reason why he's joining us for the NBA podcast. Sean, how are you, brother?
Well, I'm doing horrible when it comes to basketball, but doing great everywhere else. Thanks for having me on. I'm sure we're about to get into it, but appreciate the time.
Yes, sir. We got Moonop as well. Moonop, what's up, bro?
What's going on, fellas? I have my popcorn ready, so let's just dive right into it. I'm excited, man.
And we got Mr. Dan Titus. Dan, as a Sixers fan as well, how are you, bro?
Yesterday was Father's Day. I got the four-month-old, man. I was ready for a great day, and they fucking blew it. So I'm still riding a little bit of pain, man. I'll be honest. So I'm ready to vent.
Yeah, there we go. So the plan for tonight's show, we're going to get a little bit of Sixers vent session. Obviously, a team and a city that's near and dear to the SGPN family. And we got the perfect guys to do it. So, Sean, the floor is yours. What was your reaction last night when Ben Simmons passed open a wide open dunk to dump it off to a two-time?
I mean, it was just the turd on the shit Sunday that has been Ben Simmons in the playoffs. I mean, he's shooting what, like 31% from the line? It's insane that it's gotten to this point, you know, and as someone who was trying to be supportive of Doc, like, yeah, Brett Brown was too soft. He let these guys do whatever they wanted. Why is he even out there at all? He's not contributing. And yeah, sure, he had some defensive moments, but I mean, this was embarrassing for the entire city. And it takes a lot to embarrass the city of Philadelphia. We've done some embarrassing things. I mean, where, you know, only a few games removed from me trying to defend a guy, you know, throwing popcorn in round one on Russell Westbrook and the Wizards. So we do a lot as fans to embarrass the city of Philadelphia, but Ben Simmons topped it with his just lackluster dog shit performance. It's one thing if they left it, and I forget who it was. One of the guys tweeted out, it might have been Tobias Harris, if it is, God help him, that they left it all on the floor. It's like, no, you can't say that. Not now. And then you got Embiid kind of alluding to basically like an interview where he's subtweeting Simmons. You know, if you're going to make fun fun of him and call him out, use his name. It's just soft on so many levels. And Embiid is actually getting a pass because, dude, you're the leader. Lead. There was just nothing. There was no heart. It was just everything that Philly doesn't stand for in one series. And you saw it coming. That was the worst part. You saw it coming for so long. I wish there was some way they could have lost the series after game five, but they had to delay the inevitable and win game six, give us hope again, and then rip it away. Horrible. That's all I got.
So, Dan, I think you have that, but also the first Father's Day. So how did that work out? How did that work out with the festivities and then the depression coming off the loss?
So I'll be honest. I told the in-laws, I was like, listen, as much as I would love to celebrate this joyous occasion with you, I got Sixers to watch. It's game seven, pivotal moment in the franchise here. This is the process coming to fruition. Get to the Eastern Conference Finals, the easiest path you possibly have to get in a ring. Now, these fucking guys, man, and I, so I have to back up a little bit because, like, as much as I want to go in on Ben, it gets deeper than that. So I'm going to zoom out a little bit. This is on, like, a roster construction thing. So you got three max guys, and all of them are bitch ass soft, like soft as tissue paper, fucking whack. And even the leadership, this goes back to the Brett Brown days. Everybody was always coddled, and especially Ben Simmons. This dude's been coddled since he's been in the league. He signed with LeBron James's, you know, Rich Paul Clutch Sports. He was deemed the Fresh Prince. He sucks basketball. Like, all right, he doesn't suck, but he's not good. Like, offensively in today's NBA, you have to be able to shoot the ball. And this guy had, as a starting point guard, a perennial all-star and defensive player of the year candidate. He had a 16.7% usage rate in the playoffs. Ranked 37 among active qualifiers. Freaking RJ Barrett had a higher usage rate than Ben Simmons. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, dude, we're paying you max dollars and you don't shoot the ball at all in the fourth quarter for like four games. What is, like, what? And then you got Tobias Harris. And that's why I'm saying, like, this is a deeper issue than just Ben. How many layups did Tobias Harris miss? That guy, like, he can't draw contact. He refuses to be a man. He refuses to play up to competition. And Joel Embiid, man, like, as good as he is, he had eight turnovers in game seven. And he got stripped by Danilo Gallinari to win the, like, that was a critical possession. And he's just loosely doing a spin move at the top of the key. Like, have some awareness, bro. And, you know, I can't help but miss Danny Green. I can't believe I'm saying that. But, like, Furkan Korkmaz is getting critical minutes along with fucking Matisse Thybulle, who's the nicest guy in the fucking world, but I don't want the nicest guy in the fucking world. Give me a dog that's not going to make a dumbass decision in a critical moment. And Glenn, I'm not even going to call him fucking Doc. There's only one Doc that I recognize in the city of Philadelphia, and that's Doc. That's Julius Erving. Fuck Doc Rivers. This guy has the worst winning percentage in closeout games in NBA history. He's like 1-12 or some shit. Like, I'm over it. The process is flawed. It's cursed. And Sim, I think he's had enough. I've already seen reports that he's not going to the Olympics because he's going to work on his game in LA, aka he's going to be on the shop in 3 weeks, bitching about how he didn't have a fair shake by the Philly audience and Philly fans. Like, I'm over it. Trade him, trade Tobias. I'm good. Go get Kyle Lowry in the offseason. Let Tyrese Maxey grow and develop in this system.
That was incredible.
Nailed it.
So, Sean, so take me through your kind of roller coaster of emotions throughout the day. Going into the game, were you confident? And then halftime and then kind of third quarter, fourth quarter, where did your kind of heartbeat go throughout the afternoon?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was weird in the sense that, like, I kind of felt good that they didn't have a lead going into the first half. They were down by two. Okay, that's their sweet spot. They're down by a few points. They're in this game. And then there were, honestly, when Embiid had that kind of monster dunk and the crowd went nuts, and my group text is just like, Embiid, all capital exclamation points. I thought that was going to be the emotional turn. Like, okay, we move past this bullshit, and then it creeps back. Like, it really was just one layup. I get it. Or possibly a dunk. Again, you're within 1 foot. You have a lot of options, but Simmons not scoring there. It was an emotional thing. Like, it was just, when you have someone like that, that's supposed to be a bigger part of your team, it's crazy. And, you know, Dan nailed it when he was saying, you know, in this version of the NBA, you have to have some offensive game. I would argue his game is so bad, it wouldn't work in any NBA year. Like, even in the even in the 1980s, you had to be able to make a goddamn layup. Like, yeah, you didn't have, you know, there weren't guys hitting, like, step-back jumpers, but they were still shooting within 10 feet of the goddamn rim. Like, it's not new. You need to be able to put the ball in the hoop to be a good basketball player. Like, I get, you know, there were, I think someone in our Slack was trying to compare, like, give him a break and be like, oh, Dennis Rodman, that was his thing, right? He was just rebounding. No, he's not Dennis Rodman. All right, he's not a Hall of Fame rebounder. And all, he plays point guard. You're supposed to be able to handle the ball. I still think he's shooting with the wrong hand. Simmons is the scapegoat. He, Munaf, you're laughing, but tell me he wouldn't shoot. I mean, 30% from the line. It can't get worse. I know Simmons is getting this, is kind of the scapegoat, but there are other people, and Dan built a great case against the franchise and everyone that deserve it. But it's hard to get away from Simmons because it was so bad.
Yeah, so it was, bad. And apparently he is thinking about switching his hand of shooting in this offseason while he skips his work, his Team Australia duties, and
it's always what you want to hear from your number one overall pick, Max Flair. He's considering realizing he's shooting with the wrong hand. How did it get this far,
dude? Did you see the reports? Like, Doc Rivers is literally saying, "Oh, wait, now we figured out we have a plan for him."
Yeah,
after the season, what the fuck? What have you been doing? You practice every day. What is magical plan now?
The plan is, when they ask, they ask him, is he a point guard that can win an NBA championship? And he says, I don't know. Someone's like, that really hurts the trade value. So pretend like we have a plan. Pretend like we just forgot to mention how to fix him and work on that. And just hype the plan up. Yeah, that's what we need as Sixers fans. A goddamn plan. We had a plan. It was to suck for a long time and bring in these really good players, then we'd be good. That plan sucked. We don't trust your plans.
So Dan, what about you? What did you make of the post-game comments by Doc saying that he wasn't sure if Ben Simmons was his point guard, and then Joel as well? So, you know, kind of shifting some of the blame obviously off himself to Ben. What did you kind of see that, and how does that kind of shape your idea of the future of this team?
Yeah, I think it was actually a bit refreshing because, like, as I was talking about before with the coddling, like, I think it's about time someone gave him some accountability. And, you know, Ben Simmons gave some answer, like, oh, I have to play better, you know, blah, 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 whatever. I like that Joel Embiid called him out. Did it passive aggressively, but everybody knew he was talking about him when he didn't shoot that shot. So, you know, I'm actually okay with the fact that they threw him under the bus because, like, again, like, he's never been told that everyone, he thinks he's this shit. Like, his game is so whack. Like, I can't even, it's so hard to be a Sixers fan because they were the number one seed, but they were probably the most overrated number one seed I've ever seen. Like, watching them play basketball was fucking painful. And as much as I'm a fan, like, I was going to root for them, but, like, that doesn't mean that their brand of basketball is fun to watch. Like, they're just, oh my God. Yeah, but the post game comments, I think that they were fair. I think Doc could also take some blame for not having in-game adjustments. And I don't know if you guys saw on Twitter, but Josh Smith was, like, airing him out today on Instagram. It was fucking hilarious. And you can't deny it, man. Like, the guy's track record is just, it's not good. And this is just another example of him blowing it from a coaching perspective. You know, we give Budenholzer a lot of credit, a lot of shit for not being able to make in-game adjustments, but the Bucks won out. They beat a good team. Yeah, they were injured, but fact is they got it done. I don't think the Sixers have any excuses. You know, at this point, Bogdanovich was hurt. Trae Young is just he's a baller. Like, no, none of those Hawks were scared of the moment. And all I saw at the end of the game was Danilo Gallinari fired up, being his team, like, let's get this done, versus everybody on the Sixers side that, look, they just lost their fucking mom. Like, why are y'all depressed? Like, we could still win the game here. Y'all lost the game at halftime. Like, they weren't even ready to show up. The energy in the room was lacking, man. They didn't. At this point, I'm glad that they lost so that we can shine a better light on what we need to do to change this franchise going forward.
So what is the answer going forward? I'll give you guys each kind of what's the ideal offseason for the Sixers? Does Doc come back? Does Ben, Tobias come back? Sean, what do you think?
Well, no. I mean, for Ben's personal safety, he should not be in a Sixers uniform again. I mean, my view of him as a player aside, just personal health and well-being, he's not dribbling a basketball in the state of Pennsylvania again. That much I can guarantee. I haven't crunched the numbers here, but if they could get Dame Lillard, maybe that is the move. Probably not realistic, but if they can get Dame Lillard and, you know, you can really, and, you know, bringing in Lowry, that's interesting as well. Dame obviously would be the first choice if you can bring in a scorer like him, but honestly, it's probably a mid-level guy that has some fight, that has some attitude. I was always disappointed they got rid of Jimmy Butler, and I don't think that's a coincidence that the farthest this team has gotten in the playoffs was with Jimmy Butler on the team, because Jimmy Butler doesn't put up with bullshit. You know, maybe he does to a certain degree, but like he seemed like he was tough on them, and that certainly was the toughest version of their team was when he was a part of it. So I don't think they can bring Jimmy back, but a guy like Jimmy, and I don't know who that guy is, but someone like that would be awesome for this team. That aside, Dame Lillard, certainly a scorer like him would be awesome.
Dan,
a guard that's not afraid to shoot.
Yeah, that. I think Sean breaks up a great point, man. Like, they missed on not re-signing Jimmy Butler. That was a franchise mistake. Because you're right. Like, that team went so far. They lost on a ridiculous shot that, you know, Kawhi knocked down. But he held them all accountable, and you need a leader in the locker room. They don't have that. So at this point, you gotta get back to square one, rip the shit to shreds, go get a scoring point guard or a scoring threat. I've seen some ideas of, like, a McCollum and a Rocco for Ben and, like, George Hill. Wouldn't mind Brad Beal if he was available. I'm sure he wants to be on a winning franchise for a change. But overall, man, I think, you know, Ben Simmons was a part of the Ben Simmons has been there before Daryl Morey. So I think that this is a great time where he can press reset and do what actually he wants to kind of control the pieces, taking the power out of Elton Brand, because honestly, Elton Brand fucked up bad by not re-signing Jimmy, giving Tobias a max deal, worst case scenario there. So I think we're going to right that ship a little bit. Now, how you make the money work, I don't know. But if it takes shipping Tobias out to Sacramento or some other small market team, I'm all for it. Get him out of there. Ben Simmons, send him wherever the hell he needs to go. I don't care. At this point, I don't know what his trade value is, so I'd be willing to take him for some later future picks at this point. Fuck it.
Sorry, I'm muted. It's going to be a pretty interesting offseason there. Sean, thank you so much for coming on. Any final thoughts that you need to get off your chest with regard to this demise in Philly?
No, just Ben Simmons. You will not be missed. Maybe they can send him to the Pacers so he can hang out with Carson Wentz. RIP.
Thanks, dude. With that, let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and get to some other betting news in game two of Suns Clippers. Today's episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. So get started today, and you'll receive a special offer up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. It's WynnBET.com, and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7. Sometimes you just need a moment to turn off, hit reset, and that's when you reach for Coors Light, because it's made to chill. Mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, Reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate responsibly. Okay, and coming back off the break, pretty epic stuff there, Sean and Dan. You guys clearly had a lot to get off your chest. Moonop, what did you think of that?
As a Rockets fan, I will say that Mel made me feel a lot better about this season because we were the talk of the town for a long time in the NBA with all the shit that we were dealing with, and Dan and Sean being good friends now are making me feel a lot better about the situation in Houston. But I know you saw guys saw me laughing this whole time, but that was just funny. I think they brought up a couple of great points, and I think maybe just kind of wrap it up. Zach, you and I can kind of throw our yeah. thoughts out, and I know we'll discuss this in the offseason about the Sixers, is that it almost seems like that a guy like Kyle, number one, I think they're lacking a true leader. You know, you guys brought up a guy like Jimmy Butler, who's a guy that doesn't take shit and really, you know, galvanizes the team, and you have that leader in the locker room, kind of like Chris Paul is for the Phoenix Suns. I think that's what they were kind of lacking. I think Kyle Lowry is that type of guy that you could probably bring in on the Sixers team that could be a leader, because the body language in game 7, like you guys just mentioned, it just wasn't there. Like, there wasn't a guy that was hyping this team up and being that vocal voice, like, hey, we're still in this game. Stop putting our heads down. I think that's what they need. So again, Ben Simmons, like we talked about yesterday, Zach, he's not going to be on this roster next year. Daryl Morey is a wizard when it comes to building rosters. I think that Tobias Harris, I'm not sure if he will be there, but we can say for sure, minus 500, minus 1,000, Ben Simmons will not be on the roster. We saw the report this morning where it says, we have plans for Ben Simmons this offseason. Yeah, that plan is going to be to trade him in the offseason and see what you can get. But I just feel for Sixers fans.
Yeah, and obviously the meniscus injury doesn't help. You never want to blame an injury, but that obviously played some sort of role in this loss. And also, sure. I think, like, it's just so crazy looking back that Ben Simmons for James Harden was on the table, and the Sixers and that trade could have happened. And imagine how different these playoffs would have been if that trade did happen. And then you also look at the potential for Kyle Lowry. You know, was Tyrese Maxey really the holdup in that trade? Look, yeah. I like Maxey a lot, and I like him for the future, but Kyle Lowry would have been a big addition this year. Now we look to the offseason. The only thing I'll say is that Simmons for Kemba idea and the Simmons for Westbrook idea that Scott also threw in Slack, I think both would make a ton of sense, especially for OKC. Like, I think everyone assumes they're just waiting to cash in, but, like, Ben Simmons is kind of the ideal player that you might want to cash in a small amount of chips on. His value is at an all-time low, and it wouldn't cost you that much to get him right now, and he's probably someone who'd be amenable to OKC given what he just experienced in a major market like Philly. So it'll be interesting to see if anything does become of that. But yeah, that was funny as hell. And for our 200th episode, it's very fitting that for SGPN that we had a Philly emotional moment to break down.
Yeah, that
glad we could be of service.
Yeah, and definitely shout out to everyone at SGPN. Shout out to McKee for starting this off, and the journey to 200 has been a lot of fun. Great season so far, still not done. And on that note, let's do what we do best. Let's go to game 2 for Clippers and Suns. Dan, what did you think of that game 1, and any takeaways that you have for handicapping game 2?
Man, we've already gotten the alert that Chris Paul is going to be out for game 2 along with Kawhi Leonard. Yep. Well, I think what we saw is the emergence of the superstar that is Devin Booker, 40-point triple-double, man. Like, that's just, I'm so excited to watch him blossom, because I think, while he has a lot of the mold and the skill set of Kobe Bryant, he hasn't been able to have a stage to really put it all together. And now that the way that the Suns look now with this complete roster, even without CP3, they're dangerous, man. I think that they're I think that there's a very good chance that they could do this in a gentleman's sweep, if not 4 games, depending on, CP3's health and Kawhi Leonard. But in terms of handicapping, I think the Clippers actually – are going to remain competitive in this series. Like, I don't think that they're going to shy away. I think we saw them shoot a lot better. Paul George especially played a lot better than what he's been as of late. You know, I think that he's been getting this bad taste in his mouth from previous playoffs and especially in the bubble. But I think he's finally got over that hump now that he's the man with Kawhi Leonard out. And we've seen Reggie Jackson just play extremely well. So I don't think the team's going anywhere. I think they'll still remain competitive, but ultimately, you know, I think that the Suns are just going to be, they're just too good. Mikal Bridges' defense is exquisite. He leads the playoffs in plus minus at like 18.1. Jay Crowder continues to be the dog. Like, they have the nice balance of like goons, IQ and talent. And I think ultimately that's what's going to win conference finals. So game two, I see the Clippers at 5.5, laying 5.5. I'm going to take them for the spread, but money line, I'm going with Phoenix. I think that Phoenix is going to win this game. They've been stellar at home all season, and I don't see, even with Chris again, I don't see any reason why we shouldn't be backing them once again to win outright.
Yeah, and obviously Marcus Morris questionable for this game as well. He's, I guess, dealing with some knee soreness or something of those sorts. And if he is out, that really hurts the Clippers as well, because that small ball lineup they kind of went to that crushed the Jazz, that definitely involved Marcus Morris and his size and strength. So Moonop, game two, spread at 5.5, total 224. Where are you going on this one?
Yeah, and I said this at the beginning of the playoffs, is that the Phoenix Suns are just so dominant at home. They did have that game two loss against the Lakers in round one, but I think that we were all kind of expecting that with AD and LeBron to bounce back. But if you take a look at in the first two games against Denver, they won the first game by 17, and they came back and won this game two at home by 25. I think Phoenix is going to roll again here. It just almost seems like that they should have just started this series 2-0, and then that's when the Clippers kind of flipped the switch for themselves. We saw it in the first two rounds. I think you got also got to continue to stay here with the over. And these are two great shooting teams. We know what the Clippers are capable of shooting from three-point line. They were number one all season long in as far as percentage. And then, you know, Phoenix also has the great shooters on their team with Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder. The list kind of goes on for them. So I think we'll see a lot of points again, and I'm going to stay with Phoenix at home on spread. And then probably game three will be the game where I think the Clippers will bounce back. But as far as game two, give me the over and give me the Suns.
Yeah, I definitely like the over in the spot. I feel like that both these teams are having trouble, going to have trouble guarding each other. Clippers don't really have a good matchup to deal with Devin Booker. Like, he can kind of rise up over. Like, I think he's probably a good amount taller than Donovan Mitchell, right? I mean,
yeah,
he can kind of get up a shot over these kind of pesky guards. I do think that, you know, there's an angle for both these teams to score. The Clippers three-point shooting has been great. Reggie Jackson, still good. Paul George, still really good in this matchup. And, you know, while the Suns do have a really nice collection of wing defenders, like, it's not really, you know, there's not going to, like, shut down anyone at the point of attack. Maybe Kawhi, if he does come back, you, like, can throw Bridges on him. But I still like the Clippers the way they can move the ball, you know, spread you out. So I do see the angle for points in this game. So I like that over 224. On the spread, 5.5 would probably go with the Clippers, but I do think the Suns get this one done. Any player props, team totals, quarter bets that you guys are looking at? Dan, we'll start with you.
Yeah, one interesting one that had a slight adjustment from game one was Terrence Mann. His points, rebounds, assists was sitting at 19.5 in game one. See, it's moved down slightly to 17.5. I still think that this is still a bit overstated, man. Like, he had one game of an explosion in game six, obviously, of the Western Conference semis. But, like, I haven't seen anything from him, especially in game one, that is going to give me an indication that he's going to have any more success than 17.5. So I'm going to take the under on Terrence Mann yet again at 17.5 points, rebounds, and assists. That's the one prop I have right now. I'll probably cook up another one here as we keep talking.
There you go. Moon up. How about you?
Yeah, I think I got to be a little square here, but I think you got to continue riding Devin Booker, because if the Suns are going to win without Chris Paul, it's going to have to be on the back of Devin Booker. And I currently see his points prop listed at 31.5. He had 40 points without any effort in game one. And I think that shooting should continue in game two. I mean, he's a guy that can get it from anywhere on the floor, from the 3-point line, the mid range, around the basket, knocking down free throws. So he's just a great, great scorer, and he can create his own shot too. So I'll say with Devin Booker, over 31.5 points in game two.
Who do you guys think could be the guy for the Clippers to step up if they do win this game? You know, off the, you know, a guy other than Paul George, maybe to look at for a points prep.
It's tough to say. Like, we've talked about the three guys. We're not sure what's going to happen with Marcus Morris right now with this the injury that he suffered. It almost seems like it has to be Terrence Mann, right? Because we know Reggie Jackson has had, what, 3 straight games now without Kawhi Leonard, 20-plus points. I currently see him at 19.5. So I think that might be one to jump on. But it almost seems like that what happened in games 5 and 6, it's going to have to be on the back of those three guys. If you see maybe a Luke Kennard 3-point prop or some Viv's points, he's kind of came around and shot well too. But for me, it's going to have to be the main guys that got it done in 5 and 6 in round two against Utah, whether it's Reggie Jackson or Terrence Mann. But I would rather have Terrence Mann at home. So I think for me, it's probably Reggie Jackson. Probably going to have to drop maybe 25-plus points for the Clippers to win this game.
Yeah, agreed. And Luke Kennard did knock down 2 threes. I think Terrence Mann is someone he was +5 in his minutes, only played 27 of them. Reggie Jackson also had a positive +/- in this game. So I definitely think there is a pathway for the Clippers to win this game. I think it probably starts with shooting, 45% of three for three and making, 18 or 19 threes. And then getting a big Paul George game around that. Let's take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back and finish up this game and see if we have anything else to get to. Today's episode of the NBA Gambling Podcast presented by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Find the best odds on NBA championship and Stanley Cup futures when you buy directly from other bettors on PropSwap. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair, then buy it. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time with one click of a button. And PropSwap gives you a suggested price tool to let you know how much your ticket is worth. Last week, a PropSwap customer purchased the Milwaukee Bucks championship future for $150, and they were down 1-0 versus the Nets, and then resold it for $1,000 after the Bucks won Game 7. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. So think of it like the stock market for sports betting, and use promo code SGP in your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. Finally, we're brought to you by the SGPN app. The SGPN app is now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. The app gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. And don't forget to toss us an app review and download the SGPN app today. All right, coming back off the break, any other thoughts on this game that you guys have, or do want to talk us Bucks-Hawks for a sec? Series prices have dropped for that.
Dane, do you have anything else for the game?
Yeah, I wanted to add about Reggie Jackson. I think he's probably the best person to step up in lieu of if Marcus Morris is going to miss any time. He's got he hit 22 plus in 3 straight. He's knocked down at least 3 3 pointers in 7 of his last. Oh shit, man! Like 8 of his last 9 games. So if you're looking for a pretty consistent player prop, like Reggie Jackson's been money from 3-point range over the course of the last 2 series. So I think he's a good play. Last one I'm going to throw out there is DeAndre Ayton. I see his points and rebounds. His points, rebounds, his assists sit at 25.5. He got 20 and 9 last game. I see no reason why he can't actually be a potential double-double candidate. We see that the Clippers front court is certainly struggling. Even if they choose to go small ball, there's going to be plenty of rebounds for him to collect, as well as dominating the paint. And we've seen him just be phenomenal in his second season. So, DeAndre Ayton, I think, is a good bet for points, rebounds, and assists over 25.5.
Yeah, sorry, going off of that Reggie Jackson bet that, or the points that we just mentioned, I think it's kind of correlated that if you like the over 2.5 on his 3-point shots made, I think that his scoring total will also go over the 19.5. So I think if you want to parlay those two pieces together, I think that that's a good angle to probably look at. The last point I did want to kind of bring back from game 1 is that it was interesting to see that the Clippers knocked down 23-point shots in game 1. and the Suns only knocked down 13, and yet the Suns still won the game by 6 points. The Clippers had the advantage by what, plus 21 from the 3-point line, but the Phoenix Suns still made 9 more field goals than of the Clippers. So I think that was kind of something that stuck out to me in the box score. And the last thing for me was inside the paint, the Phoenix Suns were plus 20, 54 to 34 inside the paint. So I think that success may continue for the Phoenix Suns in game two.
Keep muting myself. Dan was literally in the prop shop on the show. So there you go. A lot of picks for tomorrow night's game. And if you're not in the Slack channel, no better time to get in. You could sign up at sg.pn/. We're about to cross 300 NBA slackers. So that's definitely exciting, seeing that grow and 200 episodes. So definitely want to jump over to the Eastern Conference real quick before we sign off. Series prices have dropped and they have moved. Bucks up to minus 480.
Wow.
Hawks at plus 340. So seems like most people are looking at this as Bucks in five. I did pick that as well, although I do kind of have a gut that the Hawks can make this competitive. Dan, where are you at with this series? Any series price bets that you've made or stand out to you?
Man, I'm still. I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about this. I know just looking at game one, though, I'm banking on plus, 7 points to the Bucks. I don't see the Bucks. I mean, they played really well over the course of the series, but let's be honest, like the Bucks weren't that great of a team at home this season. They were very erratic throughout the season. And what I've seen of the Hawks is this resiliency. And I feel like I can't bet against them right now. I'm taking them in game one, at least by the spread. I don't know if I'm going to get as bold enough to take them in game one outright, but I think that Vegas is being a little bit too cheap with them. I think that they've proven that they're willing to take on the better competition, and none of their younger players are scared to do it. And their team is actually matched up pretty well against them. I think Capella and John Collins are certainly decent enough to kind of stay in front of Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think Chris Middleton's going to be huge in this series, as well as Drew Holiday. I think that this is the person that's really going to be tasked to stop Trae Young. And Drew's been struggling from the field, so it's not like, you know, the Bucks have been given this security or you know, shooting lights out, because by any means they haven't been shooting well at all. So I think this is a bit conservative. I'm going to go with the Hawks plus 7, at least in game one, and then I'll probably reassess thereafter, because if the Hawks go down one, I think they could definitely steal at least 2 games in this series. So especially when they go back to Atlanta, I think that's going to be a critical point in this series. So first game, yeah, I'm taking Hawks plus 7.
Yeah, I think the Hawks can steal games in the series too as well. I think I'm looking at a prop right now, Milwaukee to trail in the series at any point and still win plus 300. So, you know, you could get maybe a Hawks game one or a Hawks up 2-1 situation. I think the Hawks can definitely compete in this series, and look, covering a 7-point spread. I mean, I think that's definitely part of that sort of storyline. Munaf, how about you? Any bets that you've made or thoughts on this pricing at all?
Yeah, obviously we talked about yesterday that we don't want to take the minus 400. We're not Vegas Dave out here, but I think the minus Bucks minus 1.5 is still a little chalky, but I think that's the one that makes the most sense to me. I mean, it's still at minus 175, but if we think that they get it done in 5 games or 6 games, I don't really see this getting to 7 games. But I've been wrong about the Hawks all playoffs long, but for it to be at minus 175, which is a better price than taking the actual to the series price, I think that's something that I might be looking at for this series. Other than that, as far as the series prices, I don't see anything else that I like. I mean, Bucks in 5 is at plus 200, and then the series to end in 5 games is at plus 200, the series to end in 6 games is at plus 250. So I might lay a little bit on both of those, hoping that I think it ends in 5 or 6 games. Those are kind of the bets that I'm kind of looking at.
Yeah, I think I'm going to tail that moon off. I think that's the right number. 5 and 6 is certainly looking like the solid bet, just based off of what the Hawks have been doing and their ability to stay in these series when they were underdogs the whole way. right? So
yeah,
they've certainly been proving that out.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see in this series too. You know, how do these players start to look in their matchups? And as we start to look at player props for each of these games, you know, can Drew Holiday lock up Trae Young? You know, do the Hawks have? Can John Collins bother Giannis? You know, there are going to be a lot of interesting kind of what ifs in this series. You know, we'll definitely have a show Wednesday morning to get to all these player props, but we do have this game one line at -7. So look out for the show Wednesday morning. We'll have full handicap of that and getting to props, totals, everything like that. For tonight, though, anything else that you guys wanted to talk about? Any news that's caught your eye recently? Yeah, Munaf, anything you wanted to get off?
No, I mean, you know, we're starting to see some of these names pop up for coaching jobs. I think the latest thing that I saw from Woj this morning was Becky Hammons and Chauncey Billups were getting the second round of interviews. I think it would be absolutely fantastic if we saw the first female head coach in the NBA. I think that would just be a great story, and to break that barrier would be awesome. But again, I think that it's just going to rely on what Damian Lillard or who Damian Lillard wants as a head coach in Portland if he decides to stay there. But other than Sixers stuff, man, I think that, you know, we'll probably be getting more news here throughout the week. So I think maybe we can get into it on Wednesday or Thursday. Hopefully we get some more news coming down.
Yes, sir. Dan, any final thoughts for the people?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you guys for allowing me to join you on this great podcast, man, to get it 200 episodes. So happy to be here, and you guys are the best cappers that I could honestly do this with. So appreciate sharing the stage with y'all. Thank you for also giving me the stage to vent. I just crushed this glass of whiskey in the process of doing that. So it's certainly something
I noticed that
certainly something I need to get out here. But then also I just want to something random that crossed my feed was, I saw Kramer and Sean talking about Suns and Four guy. And I realized something on TikTok, the dude that got his ass beat is now on a clout chasing tour, trying to tell his side of the story, how he didn't get his ass beat. Which I thought was hilarious. It's like, Jesus, like everybody's just trying to get their moment and their shine of their 15 minutes, but sad nonetheless. But Suns and Four dude is really looking like the champ, considering how well the Suns have been playing and seemingly what the path for Chris Paul is to finally get to his championship. I think there's no other person that's remaining in this playoffs that's probably more deserving of a ring than him. So that's something that I'm really curious to see how it plays out. But overall, man, I'm all for the parity of the league right now. I think it's great that we're not seeing the Lakers, LeBron, some of these big name notoriety players that have really been dominating the NBA for years. I think it's going to be really cool to see these young up and coming superstars make a name for themselves and hopefully bring home a Larry O'Brien trophy. So just great, great shit. Love the NBA. Best sport in the world.
Yes, sir. And Suns and Four guy, definitely the winner of the playoffs so far. I guess him and Kevin Durant so far I won the playoffs. Dan, it's been great working with you as well. So appreciate that. Munaf, been a great season so far. Going to keep finishing it up with these last couple series. Dan, where can people find you on Twitter to follow your stuff?
Yeah, holler at me at Dan Titus at DanTitus. Super creative, I know. But yeah, I'll be doing some other shit for the SGPN crew, doing some fantasy football. So we're already starting to gear that up. Hopefully, Munaf and I will be parlaying some other prop options for you guys as well. If not, worst case, it's going to be an editorial form. So we're really excited for what we have coming for the football season thereafter.
Yes, sir. Munaf, how about you?
Yeah, you find me on Twitter at SportsNerd824. Have everything posted up there, working on stuff for the site. It's been a great season, just echoing off what Dan has said, working with you guys, talking about NBA all season long. Still have a lot of playoffs left, and I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun conversations in the offseason. Just looking forward to working with you guys. And I know, Dan, we have something planned, hopefully, for NFL season. And that kind of pans out for us. But, you know, I'm excited for SGPN's future and just working with you guys, man. So I appreciate you guys.
The next re-up's going to be in Vegas, man. We got to make it happen.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing Vegas. I think I may be at Summer League. So I'll be checking with some prospect.
I may be there as well.
All right. Yeah, let's do it.
I need to get out there to sign up for those football contests. So I'm trying to plan it where I'm hitting those summer league games too. So.
All right. So that could, that could be interesting. Damn, I just got so excited. I lost my train of thought. I was going to say, you can follow me on Twitter at NBA Zach B. Please subscribe, rate, and review to this podcast, the NBA Gambling Podcast, all the podcasts on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Follow the website. Got articles, got Munoz articles, Dan's sportsgamblingpodcast.com and the Slack channel, sg.pn/Slack. We're about to cross 300 members in the NBA Slack, so pumped about that. And, yeah, we got this Clippers-Suns on Tuesday night, and then Bucks-Hawks game one on Wednesday night. So going to be a fun week. And then, obviously, every other day, each series alternates. So we'll be back with the rest of the shows the rest of the week. So have a good one, everybody, and let it ride. Basketball, give me the ball, because I'm going